Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Sayyid Mustafa and this is Youth Station on IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I am Zainab. Welcome to Youth Station. So bro, what are you going to be discussing on today's episode?
Sure. So first I just want to say to our listeners, condolences for the month of Muharram. And may
Absolutely.
Allah accept our mourning for Imam Hussein. And since this is the month of Muharram, and Ashura has just gone by, you know, there's just so many sayings and words of the imams that we get to listen to all the time. And I was hoping today we can discuss some of our favorite quotes from Imam Hussein.
Oh, that would be great. That would be awesome.
Salam, and what those mean to us. So I have a bunch of quotes that I have here that I really like. But why don't you start us off if you have any, sister?
I think, first of all, I just want to say, aside from, yes, Azamullah Ujurakum, and may Allah hasten in the reappearance of the Avenger of Imam Hussein alayhi salam's blood, Sahib al-Zaman, Ajalallah ta'ala faraj al-Sharif. What I wanted to say is that the incredible thing about Imam Hussein alayhi salam is whether it's Muharram or not, whether Ashura was the day before yesterday or not, well, here by, I know when this is going to air, he is such an integral part of our lives. You don't, like, sometimes you even reach a point where it makes no difference to you anymore whether it's Muharram or not, because he's so entwined, he's so quantumly entangled into every fiber of your life, and you refer yourself and your heart to him so often that you really feel like every day is his occasion, you know?
Right. The first quote that I have, which I felt was, I actually didn't know about this quote for maybe until I got into my 20s. And, you know, I kind of wish it was something that I had been told even earlier. And it's, I believe it's from, I hope I'm right, I believe it's from Dua Arafah, where Imam Hussein says, you know, oh Allah, what did he find who lost you? And what did he lose who found you?
MashaAllah.
Right. So I felt this quote has always kind of stuck with me from the first time I heard it. And especially, I think, for the youth, you know, when you're being told in your life, you know, what to do, what you should be aiming for, you know, work hard, get good grades, you know, you have to get a good job, you have to do this
exactly.
And that.
Exactly. Right? Have like a certain goal set for you by the society.
Right. And if sometimes when you don't meet those goals, you know, you feel disappointed or you feel, you know, you
like
feel
bad. Failure.
Yeah. Whereas this, you know, these statements from Dua Arafah reminds you of what your goal is, right? Whatever you're doing, of course, you should be working hard. You should be studying and trying to achieve all those goals that we have to achieve. But they should be for this ultimately, you know, for finding God.
Mm.
If they're being done for anything else, then, you know, you're not gaining anything. So for me, this is just kind of like something that I try to remind myself every day that, you know, if we lose God, we've lost everything.
And
I think that's really important for the youth as well.
What has been your own personal experience or definition of finding God?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, what does it mean to find God? I think what it means to find God for me is kind of having that satisfaction from what I'm doing, you know, and the things that I'm doing. Am I getting that peace and satisfaction that they are in reality for God? Now, what do I mean by that? For example, I think when I picked, you know, the job that I wanted to do before I came to Iran, I don't think I necessarily did it for the sake of God. You know, first I found the job that I wanted to do. After that, I said, you know, I'm doing this for the sake of God.
Mm.
It was in reverse, where I was looking for a job which would have served that very same purpose.
Right.
Do you get what I mean?
Totally.
It's like we do things that we want, and then later on, it's an after effect, you know, that we're doing this for God. So that's kind of where I am with that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I'm happy that you said that inner sense of satisfaction and peace, because often we feel like society, again, feels like someone has found God when they can visibly see that person fasting more, praying more, going for Hajj every year, you know, going for Arba'een every year. They weren't that kind of a person up till like a certain point. And then there was just like a certain change in their life and they became more practicing.
Right.
Or someone who's been like this all their lives. I think we've all seen those human beings, those individuals that seem in appearance to be practicing, and everyone reveres them as such a God-fearing person, and oh, they're so pious, and they're like, people swear by their heads. But when you go into the real fabric of their lives, their conduct, their behavior with their family, with their relatives, with those who are close to them, you see very little God in it.
That's true.
Right? I think finding God is definitely, like you said, that inner development in my heart, in my core. Something has filled me up from the inside that even, like Imam al-Hussein said, you lose all else in life. That inner feeling is so strong and it just fills in all those empty spaces. And I think that's awesome. Supplication of Arafah. Yes. It's a long one, but our youth especially, because the brother said that, Sayyidina al-brother said that he wished he had been introduced to it younger in life. So guys, please look into it, you know, before you have knees that crack and pop when you want to sit down for too long. Look into the supplication of Arafah and prepare yourself for next Arafah, because this supplication is just out of this world.
Definitely. So I shared, you know, that was my one of my favorites from Imam Hussein.
Everything about Imam al-Hussein and Islam is a favorite, I think. Right. But the quote from the Imam, that it kind of like gave me goosebumps. And every time I read it, it still gives me goosebumps after all these years, is his final will to Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. And within that will, which every Imam does to the Imam after them, before they pass and they are martyred, he said, oh, my son, be wary of oppression toward the individual that has no one but Allah. Be scared of doing that. And just now I said it, I got the chills.
So do you want to maybe elaborate on what it means?
Exactly. Yeah. First of all, it gave me the chills because Imam al-Hussein is the perfect example and instance of that individual that had no one but God, but was oppressed.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that hit home with Imam al-Hussein, you know? And that's why I think it gives you the chills every time you hear it.
Got it. Excellent.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, just to add to that, also, you know, they say that the one who's being oppressed, you know, or I mean, take it this way, you know, we have this verse of the Quran which says, for those people who are in the sea and they're surrounded by waves, and you know they know they're about to die, who do they call out upon? Right.
Exactly.
At that time, they call upon God. In the same way, the person who's oppressed and has no one else to help him, he's also only calling upon God. But why do you think in this he says you should fear him?
Because the consequences are dire.
Right.
Because once you oppress such an individual, then you're done for.
Right.
It's like a straight highway to hell for you.
I mean, this is actually connected to many traditions. And one of them is that, you know, once someone asked our Imam, you know, what is the Ism-e-Azam, the great name of God that you can call upon? And when you call upon him with this name, you know, all your prayers are answered. And one of the examples he gave is when you've lost all hope. And at that time, when you call upon God, you know, from the bottom of your heart, that is the Ism-e-Azam, he said.
So it's a state.
It is a state, yes.
Beautiful.
So it's a state. In that state, you know, God listens to you and he answers your call. So yeah, that's a really, really great quote from him.
Another thing about this quote that I think really captivated my heart is that at the end of the day, aside from the fact that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was a perfect example of it, we can all relate to it at some point in life. We're either the oppressed individual or we're the oppressor, you know?
Sure.
It's scary, but we, like, if we apply it, because The words of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the incredible thing about their word is that it's so multi-dimensioned. It has so many facets, right, and it has so many aspects to it, to a point that you can almost apply it to every part of your life, right?
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that individual that has no refuge but Allah, has no one to rely to on but Allah, could be our child sometimes.
Sure, yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes we oppress our children because we had a long day, because we were oppressed and traumatized ourselves, because we don't know any better, because we're not informed enough regarding like child upbringing, and we oppress that child, and that child, that 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 17-year-old child who's under our care and protection, who's an amana, like a trust from Allah, right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's bestowed upon us, really doesn't have anyone else to turn to but their, yep, parents and God, and their parents are the one who are oppressing them now, right?
Right, or their siblings.
There we, right, go. So I think that is one of the applications of this hadith, and we take it very lightly. Yeah. And sometimes it's our spouse, sometimes it's a colleague, sometimes it's nature, sometimes it's a poor animal, because, yeah, obviously the animal cannot like draw a sword and strike us.
Sure.
But we have to be really careful with the things we oppress. Okay. And we're not, I'm afraid.
I'll do one more quote. And this one, you know, I actually got this from a cousin's display picture. This one, he has it in his display picture. He said, and this one says, you know, death of dignity is better than a life of humiliation.
MashaAllah. Hayhat minnat dhillah.
Right. And this is, of course, a very, very famous and popular saying, but, you know, it's an amazing, amazing statement. And I think, again, you know, with all these statements like you're saying, they can apply to many aspects of our lives. And it's not just about, you know, going and fighting in a war and dying in that manner. But I think, for the, especially for the youth that's living today, you know, the enemy wants to control us, right? And they want to humiliate us, yeah, from that point of view. But I think a lot of we don't realize that we are living under humiliation, right? Or we think that it's acceptable to continue living in that manner. And I think this whole event of Ashura and Muharram and this statement in itself reminds us that, you know, number one, you know, humiliation or living that way should not be the status quo. It's not a dignified way to live where you're being oppressed.
It's never not an option. Ever, yeah, ever, ever. Never let that be an option.
Yeah, so I think our youth should be aware of this, that, you know, you should not allow the enemy to control us. You should not allow the enemy to oppress us. We don't have to continue living in this kind of this manner.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, Imam al-Hussein is a bit perfect example of what he has said. He would have rather been killed in that brutal manner, in that brutal way, than to live a life of humiliation under the allegiance of a person like Yazid. Like he said, a person like me will never give, right, allegiance to a person like Yazid. And the other thing is that what Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam says, what he said in this regard, you don't necessarily have to be a Muslim or a Shia or a lover of Ahlul Bayt to get it. It's a human thing,
yes,
you know? And we see so many human beings in the world living by that, whether it's people in Palestine, whether it's people who were oppressed in Bosnia-Herzegovina, whether there were people who were oppressed in Southern America, they lived by that. They're like, I'd rather die fighting for what, mm-hmm, I feel is right than living under, you know, a tyrant or an oppressor or someone who's going to take my dignity away. And that kind of reminds me of Braveheart. You can take our lives, but you can't take our freedom.
Right.
And that's all the time we have today.
Okay. I hope people have actually watched Braveheart to get that reference. But so brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And, you know, don't take these sayings from our imams for granted. Read them, remind yourself of them. Think about them, ponder upon them. And inshallah, we pray that we derive benefit from the imam. And may Allah help us follow in the steps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Thank you so much. Fi amanillah. My love, my life, my days, my nights, my wealth, my prayers are for you. Now I know how it's like to have your precious love in my life. Now I know how it feels to finally be at peace inside. I wish that everybody knew how amazing.
wish to love you. I wish that everyone could see how your love has set me free. Set me free and made me strong.